Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey Watchers, it's Nyan, and welcome back for a very special episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. This week's episode marks a full year of recording our occasionally helpful, but mostly unnecessary opinions on TV and movies. So instead of our usual pitches and feedback, Dan and I decided to spend this episode talking through a bunch of random topics, such as where the idea for this podcast came from, you the listeners, the most popular episodes, the high fidelity rule, and, of course, the shows and movies we've covered over the past year that left the biggest impressions, calling out the hits and misses, as well as what we're considering for the future of the pod. As a heads up, after this episode drops, we are going to go on a bit of a hiatus for about 2 weeks to relax, recharge, and enjoy what's left of the summer. So we should be back with a new episode around September 13th, barring any unforeseen circumstances. In the meantime, if you're digging this podcast, please subscribe and then rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Or just give us a shout on our social media pages. And if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, or just something you want us to randomly mention on air, leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. So, in summary, watch, listen, rate, and subscribe, please. All right, Watchers, let's get ready for a slightly intoxicated meander down memory lane. All right, Watchers, welcome aboard for this completely unnecessary retrospective. I can't believe we've been at this for, we've done 51 episodes. Now we're at 52.
It's insane.
I do not understand it. It's just Dan and I on this episode kind of looking back on stuff because Jason is gallivanting through Europe with his family on a well-deserved vacation.
Yes.
And so we thought we'd take this opportunity now that we're here with the new 52. Shout out to DC. I love you very much occasionally. Kind of just even talk through how this happened, right? Like this started off as a drunk text. We say that in the trailer, but that is an actual fact. That
100% is 100% true. Yeah. No lies detected.
Just trying to find the most stubborn people thinking that that would actually lead to interesting content. Sort of the debate back and forth of, you know, coming up with shows to, or shows or movies to tell the other people to watch and actually be able to make them watch them and hold them hostage. It was great creating this wonderful hostage situation.
Exactly. Speaking of, I mean, we actually did mention hostage situations in at least one of the pitches this year too, as well.
Oh, which pitch?
Black Lagoon.
Oh, that's right. Hello.
We all want to get taken away from our respective jobs at certain moments.
Very much. I'm dying to put up that out of office message. It just says held hostage by mercenaries with limited access to email.
Perfect. But yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, we've been through a lot, you know, as far as content is concerned. We've, you know, and for those of you who've been with us for the long haul, you know, we went through a bit of a format change, and we were chugging out basically, you know, one feedback and one pitch every week at one point. And it was, again, considering the fact we all have day jobs and other commitments, it was a little crazy. So I really appreciate everyone out there, you know, sticking with us through that change. I think it's a little more digestible now, and I'm hoping you all agree. But it was it's been fun. I think we've been able to kind of cut loose a little bit more with this, and I'm hoping that the content shows for that. So,
yeah, I'm hoping so too. And I think if nothing else, even if the content doesn't show, this particular podcast has spared so many of our friends and family from having to hear about all the shows that we want and TV or movies that we want them to watch. And so we just funnel that all into the podcast. And if they want to subscribe, they can also smash that subscribe button and rate us on that.
And don't forget to rate us.
Yeah.
5 stars, please.
Exactly. But yeah, honestly, the listeners here, you're doing the Lord's work, because now my family is so tired of hearing about me telling them what TV shows to watch. They're really over it. And so the fact that I'm able to do this here now, and I can have normal conversations about whatever normal people talk about, like toast and stuff, various. The brand of baking soda, I guess. Is that a thing?
Zesty low-cal chicken recipes. Yeah, of course.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's great because now, you know, we can say, oh, we can ask her, you say, hey, Cousin Emily, have you seen the show? Oh, you haven't? Oh, check out episode 52 of check out 51 of this, you know, of the podcast. Great.
It makes conversation so much more efficient. And since they're not going to listen to anybody, it's great. It works out perfectly. And if the off chance they do, awesome.
Yeah. Earworms are for real. Get it in there.
Exactly. And speaking of actual listeners, we've got such a random assortment of folks that apparently listen to this podcast, which we appreciate you all. Thank you so much for listening.
International, no less.
Yeah. Like, we've gotten such a random assortment of listeners based on Spotify data. Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts tracking hasn't been as helpful. Actually, though, I will say Google Podcast Manager has provided the most interesting data on listenership in that, at least over the past 28 days from when this was recorded, the search terms that were giving them the highest impression that led to our podcast, which I'm not even sure what that metric means, was colorectal surgeons in Oklahoma, which maybe that should be a subtitle for this episode, because people were searching colorectal surgeons in Oklahoma and finding our podcast.
I'm hoping that, that we didn't hear any dysentery, from anyone because of that. It'd be pretty bad, very bad, especially if they were in the Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you're bound to get it when you're trying to ford the river. So
yes. Yeah. Got to watch out.
Yeah. We do have to give a special shout out for the folks in Moldova who keep listening to us, because right behind the U.S., Moldova has the second most listenership for this podcast for some reason that is still a complete mystery to me. I do not understand it.
So all you fans in Moldova, if you happen to be anywhere on the East Coast in America, hit us up.
Seriously. We'd love to hear from you. And if you guys know Andre from 90 Day Fiance, I definitely want to hear from you, because
yes,
his family is wild. And between that, I mean, we've definitely got a pretty big, we've got a decent range in terms of ages, though for some reason we've got a good chunk of listeners between 23 and 27, which
interesting.
I don't know why these children want to listen to random middle-aged men ramble, but hey, I appreciate it. It's very nice of you.
It's nice. Thank you for the listen and get off my lawn. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Between all those listens, we've kind of had some episodes that obviously are popular because I'm sure there are folks that pick up the podcast starting at like episodes 1 and 2. So actually the second episode that we have has the most plays. But then after that, yeah. And it's funny because I thought it would be the first. It would be Scott's Pitch of Dark, but no. Right. It's actually the dark feedback and the Traveler's Pitch. But then there's a weird three-way tie.
Three-way tie.
Yeah.
It's okay when it's in the three-way. Yeah.
It's between the Moon Boy pitch and which also included, I'm trying to think which feedback that had. That had the feedback for Outer Banks. And then
interesting.
The Time Wasters pitch.
Yeah.
Feedback for Penny Dreadful.
Ooh.
and then something that actually had the most or second most listens for a long time was the No Disrespect to Kayla episode, which just seemed, I just assumed a lot of people named Kayla were listening to it, but that was actually the Penny Dreadful pitch with the society
feedback.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
Guess we have a lot of Penny Dreadful fans, and I wish we were among them, but
well, other than me, yes. Other than me, yeah. Yeah, we will keep you deep in the cockles of our Josh Hartnett's.
There you go.
Yeah.
Down the cockles, in the subcockles.
Maybe in the subcockles. Maybe in the liver, maybe in the kidney, maybe even the colon. Or the colorectal surgery, we don't know.
True, yeah. If you're in Oklahoma, of course.
Yeah, if you're in Oklahoma, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So Dan actually had a good idea in terms of what we might go over on this podcast, but or this particular episode. So I'll throw it out. We'll start the run through the agenda now. Dan, what was your favorite pitch that you got to make on this?
It's been a wild ride. We've run the gamut. I've done a lot of stuff heavily in my comfort zone, but at the same time, I've done my very best to come out of it. So I loved pitching, for example, The Expanse and The Orville and Pennyworth. But actually, believe it or not, Bo Burnham Inside was probably my favorite pitch. it, like I said, it didn't have a sci-fi or comic element like the other three did. It was more out of my comfort zone to a degree. I mean, I used to watch stand-up a lot more, like we've discussed in previous episodes, like the end of the season, sorry, one. But at the same time, I kind of got back into these this stand-up over time, and I really liked this a lot. And the reason why, I think, is twofold. Not only is obviously Bo incredibly entertaining and whatnot, and it really kind of sucked me in across the board here, but it definitely, because of the kind of the pandemic setup and feel behind it, I think it really kind of hit me really, you know, in the feels, and it, you know, it tickled my funny bone, at the same time kind of made me think a lot. And so I really had a lot of kind of a nice release by talking about that, and especially letting loose on the feet and later on the feedback as well. But the pitch for me felt very cathartic to talk, to kind of get it out there off my person. And so that's what I thought was really interesting about that.
Yeah, I can definitely understand feeling that. That was a cool pitch. I enjoyed it, and I love that special. It was great, and I could definitely feel you on, you know, that really hitting home as far as pandemic stuff goes, because that definitely hit with me as well.
Yeah, so right back at you, man.
So I had a hard time figuring out which one of my favorite pitches was, and it was a toss up between the two of the sketch shows that I pitched. I Think You Should Leave in a Black Lady Sketch Show. And I think a Black Lady Sketch Show wins out, because that was the one where I got to go. I think it was I may have been my first pitch. And actually creating the glossary was fun. The ability to kind of get creative with it, which I did with the I Think You Should Leave one as well. But that was a little bit more contained in that. My pitch made more sense if you'd actually already seen the show. But I think the actually working through a Black Lady Sketch Show, going through the episodes that I was pitching, and then creating that glossary, which I believe Scott described as the whitest thing he'd ever seen, was a good time. And that show just continues to be amazing, like over and over again. Like, they just keep killing it season after season.
I know. I agree. I think You Should Leave pitch, I think there was a lot that was helpful to me. I think that, you know, the frame of reference you came in with that for the pitch was great, in that I was fully in the mindset to watch that when it came. Because again, there's so much that's kind of, like we talked about in the pitch, you should go back and listen to this pitch as well, that's kind of revolutionary or kind of off the beaten path compared to lead other sketch shows, right? And I think that there's a little bit about the take or the way you went with the pitch that really kind of put, I think, Jason and I in that frame of mind going into watching it for the feedback. So I think that there's a lot of good premise there behind that. I went back and finished all of Black Lady Sketch Show, you know, and I just, I think I'm one episode away from finishing I Think You Should Leave. So I'm making my way. So.
Nice. And I think that's actually a good point that you raised, Dan, in terms of the pitch. And I think that's something we should continue to strive for with our pitches, is to try and be convincing about it, not just sort of, we're, you know, taking the time to figure out what each other will like about it, what we truly think will translate. And it's, I forget if we've discussed this on the pod directly, but I know we've talked about it off pod. There's that, the high fidelity rule. When when John Cusack's, I'll say John Cusack's character, as most people
have seen the
movie, but, or maybe they've seen the Hulu series with Zoe Kravitz, but both great.
Same difference.
Yeah. But just the idea that he starts off making mixtapes based on everything that he likes, but then by the end of the end of the series, he figures out, or the end of the movie, the end of the novel, et cetera, figures out that the best mixtapes are based on the other person's, like the person you're giving it to. Right. So it's, and that's just a fun thing to learn and work with and play with. And I think it makes for fun content. And I'm hoping it makes fun content for folks that are listening to this. And, you know, it's not always going to work out, but it's certainly something to strive for, right? Because there are definitely times where I'm going forward, we'll start picking weirder stuff.
Yeah.
Now that I have the opportunity, I think I'm really just going to go off the rails with this.
Yeah, totally. We will totally go off the rails for sure. And but we'll to throw a high fidelity reference in here, we'll be sure not to call ourselves the Kathleen Turner Overdrive.
I'm making no promises, man. As someone who weirdly has seen, I saw The Graduate on Broadway in the weirdest way possible.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was odd. It was very strange to see Kathleen Turner naked on stage probably unnecessary. The weirder part of it was when I went to the bathroom during intermission and I was towards the tail end and these two guys were just at the urinals talking about Kathleen Turner. Like, it, graphically, it was very uncomfortable, very weird.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's my big Kathleen Turner experience. And the only reason I got there is because of Big Pharma. So thanks, Big Pharma, because my mother was working as a nurse at the time, and the pharmaceutical company had bought them dinner and then tickets to the graduate, and they happened to have an extra ticket. So she just randomly called me and I showed up. So
nice.
Mom, thank you for letting me see Kathleen Turner naked. That's probably the greatest gift a mother can ever give her son.
Well said. I mean, and no offense to all you Equus fans out there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, true. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Yeah. That was a kind of a Daniel Radcliffe hanger right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry.
Someday we'll have a vaccine for the dad jokes, guys.
Someday.
Donate to the dad joke vaccine fund that we're definitely going to set up.
So coming off of your favorite pitch made, I think we're going to go right into your favorite pitch heard, and not to confuse once again with Purred Happily.
True. Well, I mean, let's call this segment "You Heard with Purred."
Yeah.
So it's funny because I was trying to think of what my favorite one that I'd heard. And the one that stands out isn't a show I actually finished. Good. It was just the pitch. Because I was thinking maybe it would have been the pitch for Titans, which I did finish. Actually, I'm all caught up on Titans, and I'm looking forward to the new season.
Once again, for those listening, this will be the last season of Titans. I apologize.
Oh, it will be? Oh, shoot. I had no idea.
It will be. Pretty much, again, it's not fitting in with Zaslav's vision, I think. And so I think the next seasons of Doom Patrol and Titans are rumored to be the last.
Oh, that's ridiculous. His vision is awful. Sad. I saw the list of things that they're pulling off in their quality shows. This is idiotic. I don't know what HBO Max is going to have left for me. It's very frustrating. Yep. Other than
it's frustrating. Doctor Who in reruns. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a mess. I mean, it sort of works for me in that I love the trash on Discovery Plus. We subscribe to that too. So I don't know.
But again, we're going to have an amalgamation of both. So we'll have to see what happens.
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I would have to say my favorite pitch heard was Black Lightning, specifically because of Dan's intro to it, where he just says the theme to Black Lightning and we're all incredibly confused.
I distinctly remember that night I definitely had been drinking ahead of time. So I think they kind of urged me on to kind of just, you know what the hell, let's just do this. You know, because I'm just imagining, I think we've all seen Frasier, but what if one of us had not seen Frasier, can you imagine, you know, because we hear the blues are calling, you know, I'm just imagining, you know, like just us crooning into that, it would be kind of also hilarious in some level.
It would be pretty great.
Yeah. But that's wild, though. That's pretty wild. Because again, Black Lightning, you know, again, another DC show. Speaking of, you know.
Well, what about you, Dan? What was your favorite pitch heard?
Yeah. So this was like, again, a hard call for me because there's so many things. Like I mentioned, I Think You Should Leave was definitely up there in my top like five or so, just because, again, it got me in the frame of mind, like I said, to kind of listen to watch that. But there's so many others that had like this like dynamic kind of elements to them and from everybody. And I had like a couple here and there that were really kind of, you know, kind of singing in my ear. But, and I don't know if this is recency bias or where the case is, but I think The Bear might have been my favorite pitch thus far.
Oh, wow.
And for those who follow me, you know, elsewhere or know me personally, since November 2021, as of the time of this recording, I've been kind of modulating through different dietary and GI issues, and I no longer have the complete freedom to enjoy going out and enjoying like fine dining like I used to. And those of you who follow my other podcast, Life on Tap, early on, I had a lot of different things going out there. I covered a lot of different, you know, random, you know, adventures out there, including my honeymoon, which was scheduled all around a restaurant reservation. You know, and if you don't listen to that, I'm happy to explain it to you if you catch me anywhere on the social media, etc. But this is also impacted on the fact that, you know, I'm a parent, and, you know, and obviously, you know, I don't have the 100% freedom with, you know, my wife to go out and enjoy places. So, you know, but the current diet cuts out so many foods that I used to enjoy. And even like when I just have it a few times a year, I can't even have that anymore. So talking through, you know, the fine dining part of everything and the food, and, you know, less about the food service, which still interests me, you know, intellectually speaking, you know, it just brought up a lot of kind of cheer and fond memories of some of these tremendous food experiences that I've had in the past, you know, and I think that really indirectly kind of served as kind of a pseudo psychotherapy on me coming to grips with my diet changes and how, like, I can't necessarily, you know, go out there and have a chunk of Robiola Tour and then some Gruyere and then some other, you know, blue cheese like Cabrales or something like that. I can't just have that in my spare time like I used to, or I can't have Gougères, or I can't have this. So, you know, so there's, again, to me, I kind of was living vicariously through that experience by listening to that pitch. And, like, you know, and it made me think about the French Laundry. It made me think about Alinea. It made me think about El Bulli. It made me think about the Bernardin. It made me think about, like, you know, Jaleo and all these places I've been to. So it's, yeah, I just, it brought a lot of, you know, good feeling from that. So.
Gotcha. Oh, that's awesome. And it, you know, it sucks to hear about all your GI issues and the related stuff. Well, not being a parent, being a parent's great, but yeah. the GI issues is, you know, definitely frustrating and disappointing. So I appreciate that. I'm glad you like the bear one. That was a good time. Definitely still a great show if you haven't seen it yet, guys.
Yeah, don't sleep on that. Season 2 is coming.
Yeah.
And for the record, for those of you, because this, we're not a video podcast, so when I said GI, I actually did salute a la how I Met Your Mother. So
nice.
Yeah. So that it was pretty wild to kind of hear about, you know, these different favorite pitches heard. So I think that, you know, when you're listening to a pitch, it's very interesting to kind of think, okay, well, you know, if they're, you know, they're usually tying it into what we might think we might like about something. You know, like, say, oh, hey, you know, Nyan, I know you were into comics as a kid, so I think you might like this because blank. Or, you know, Dan, I think, you know, I know you like, you know, science fiction, so I think you might like this kind of weird twist to this series. You know, it was so interesting to see how certain kind of pitches really kind of tied into what we liked, but it never always was a surefire way to get us to continue. And I really loved that about, because again, you know, it's so interesting how media consumption works in that regard, that, you know, even if it should, on a formulaic perspective, work for us, it might not work for us.
True. Yeah. I mean, it is ultimately very subjective. So, you know, it doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. Sometimes you get that chef's kiss.
Yes. Well said.
What about feedbacks? What was your favorite feedback segment we participated in? Whether it was something you pitched or just something a show that you ended up watching. What was your favorite?
Yeah, we've had some like marathon feedbacks.
Yes,
legitimately. I mean, the two ones that come to mind the most are more recently Ghosts feedback was I think our longest one I think yet.
Yeah.
Although I think Midnight Mass is a pretty close second, if memory serves. Because we just like we went to like super deep dive, you know, para-religious analysis of everything there. So it was like pretty crazy to think about, you know, all these early pitches these feedbacks we had. But as far as like, you know, I went back for feedback for me, I think a lot of it is the fun factor, you know. And I think that I wanted to think about, well, which feedback did I have the most fun participating in? And it felt like we may have been on there for, say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour even. And, you know, but which is the one that I took the most, like, kind of, you know, like, fun from? And for me, it was Big Mouth.
Oh, was it?
Big Mouth by far. I think it was, like, I think it most expertly delivered on our feelings from the show. And there were so many hilarious references that we all kind of threw into, like, the mix there to talk about. And it just kept us laughing, I think, throughout the entire kind of episode. I think we kind of kept, like, you know, saying, oh my gosh, that's so amazing, that's so funny. And like, and then again, even if we're commenting on, you know, voice acting performance or plot details, we still kind of brought it back to talk about, like, you know how it you know, oh, this is funny because, you know, back in college this happened, or, you know, we had so many ways to kind of take that back. And it was funny that, you know, that it took an animation of all things basically to bring us back to that almost youthful engagement in that regard. So I thought that was, you know, for me, that was like a lot of fun, because I think I really remember recording it and thinking, wow, we already finished that feedback. That was quick, or it felt quick rather.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, that was a really good time. And I was so psyched that you guys really enjoyed the show. And then
still catching up.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's just so much of it now. And there's even more seasons to come. And then you have to catch up on Human Resources, the spinoff.
Right.
Like, it's wild. But yeah, that was super engaging. So especially in terms of like, it did remind me of our youth to an extent, because I think we were having a lot of conversations like the same way we have conversations when we were younger around Family Guy or The Simpsons, where I mean, that being such a formative part of our young adulthoods, if you will. So I think
South Park too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. South Park too. Definitely as well. So.
Yeah. Awesome. And again, if you think about it, you know, even when we were younger, there were so many more adult themed cartoons that we took for granted. You know, I mean, Ren and Stimpy, like that wasn't airing during the daytime normally.
No. God, no.
You know, I mean, Aeon Flux.
Right.
You know, so there were like a lot of these, like, you know, I'd say more I want to be very clear, mature, because I want to say it like exactly that way, because it annoys lots of people. You know, mature kind of animations out there back in the day. And so it was great to see, you know, but yeah, it's interesting how as a society, our animation kind of almost subconsciously represents basically major paradigm shifts in society, what society deems as acceptable or not acceptable. Because obviously things that we said or did or described in with certain series back in the day clearly don't necessarily fly the same way they do now. So it's very interesting how that works.
It's very true.
And sometimes you just want to go back to Razzmatazz.
Of course. God, I miss that place so
much. North Amboy, New Jersey. Yeah, so favorite feedback, man. What do you think?
So I think part of it is the experience, for me, the experience of the feedback as well. Not really necessarily if someone actually enjoyed it, but I think just having a visceral, like, immediate reaction that is just, even when it's not positive, I appreciate
it. Equally fine.
Yeah.
Equally fine.
I definitely welcome it. And that's why I think my favorite feedback was Joe Parra Talks With You.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the way that Scott just it did not connect with that show at all. Like completely,
that's completely true.
Like I don't necessarily want to say went over his head, but like went around it in a way that he was just like, why am I watching this? This makes no sense. And I think in a lot of ways I stick by my comment that I thought this was a documentary about him. And so just a single man with a dog. It makes sense to me.
That's her.
And I love the show. Unfortunately, it has been canceled. And I'm hoping someone picks it up, because I know they do have more they were going to do with it. And the interesting contrast of Dad, you getting really into it and actually continuing on and getting through it. And then Scott just being like, I don't know why I watched this. This made no sense to me.
Right.
It's literally like I made him watch something in another language and did not give him subtitles or an English dub. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. Again, you mentioned subjectivity before, and I think that it's so interesting how you would think that, you know, someone who, again, he is, I know he has family who is either lived or went to school in the Midwest, especially in the vicinity of the area of Big Ten schools out there. And it's very interesting how, like, you know, that even though there is this kind of, you know, approach to understanding how geography affects society in certain areas of the country, you know, that necessarily didn't translate into, like, again, viewing pleasure in that regard. It was very interesting in that regard. And I think that there is a certain, you know, people like slice of life and anime, especially slice of life, is a huge kind of sub genre of a lot of different things, and people really enjoy that. But it's interesting that how it doesn't necessarily always translate, because again, slice of life is still fictional, right? Whereas it doesn't cross the bridge into slice of life as in, you know, reality show, right? So there's this kind of like this weird kind of fuzzy gray area that people don't necessarily dive into. And I think maybe that might have been part of it, but it is a shame that it was canceled. I too hope that it gets picked up, because I definitely want to see where it was to go from there.
Yeah, agreed. And hopefully maybe I'll just move on to another project, but anything. I know Joe's doing a whole stand-up tour right now.
Yeah, I missed it when he was in town. He was in Brooklyn. He was in town in Brooklyn. It was just a murderous week for work. I couldn't get out, but I would have loved to have seen him.
Well, fair enough. I'm dying to see him too, like live. That'd be great one of these days.
If you think about it, like, again, we've talked about this before, but there's been a definite, a comedian appreciation resurgence here on the pod here. And I think that's been something we definitely note periodically. And I think, I'm hoping that, in the future that we'll be able to kind of reconnect with some older comedians that we know, and hopefully some new ones as well. And hopefully nothing will be involve slapping on national television.
Yeah, definitely hope not, to be perfectly honest. Now that we've gotten through the things we enjoyed, let's get into the Razzies, because this was a good call, Dan. What was the worst? What was the least favorite selection that you've had to watch on this show? And understanding that I will be coming up with more things you will hate in the future.
The more niche we start getting, we're going to start pulling from random places of our viewing past that, like, wait, you watch that? It's like Dan, what's this movie you're pitching to us? Robot jocks? I don't know. I'm not feeling that.
An entire movie about robot jock straps? This is confusing.
It's kind of random. Yeah. So I mean, I might not necessarily be pitching that, but I just threw out an example. But again, think of your B and C or D grade movies, that you might pull out of the woodwork, off the sea. But yeah, again, it was a tough call, because again, for every black lady sketch show that I would, I went through and pushed through, there is a ton out there basically that I just couldn't prioritize. Cause again, we're living, as of the time of this recording, we're living in an age where we are overloaded with content. It doesn't matter what network it comes out on. If it's coming out through Paramount Plus, Apple TV, Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. Disney Plus, we are inundated with tremendous amounts of content. Again, how this content actually ends up on our palette, so to speak, is, here or there, obviously, but I think that there's just so much to potentially consume. And of course, now there's this meta element that comes with all this, where there's like making of, behind the scenes, and plus there's all the, people that we might follow. I'm looking at you, Miss Margaret, of who might cover this kind of stuff. So we have like this, the actual content plus the kind of the meta content that goes along with it. And there's only so much time in a day we have to consume this. And so it's pretty amazing. That being said, after analyzing various different aspects of all things, and big apologies to Scott for this one, but it's Outer Banks.
Oh, wow. Outer Banks. Okay.
So the treasure hunt element to it was just not enough to keep me engaged with it longer, unfortunately. There were some other series that were pitched that were kind of younger trending in a lot of different ways. So like, for example, like The Society comes up to mind. So The Society's premise is a little spookier, a little more kind of mystery or interesting to me to that end. And so Outer Banks, again, not that, that certain eye candy wasn't lovely as part of it, and there were some interesting parts to it, character development wise, it just could not wrap me in. Out of everything we watch, basically. So if there was anything in the list that I think that I can definitely say that I'm not going back to, unfortunately, it's Outer Banks. And Netflix, you make some really cool content, don't get me wrong, but this one's not for me. I'm sorry.
It's interesting because people love that show, apparently.
I know.
It's got a fandom.
I know. Maybe if I'd been to the Outer Banks, if I'd spent a vacation there, maybe I'd feel differently. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, people do love it. I don't get it either. I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. And how many OBX bumper stickers have you seen in your lifetime? It's probably
so
countless.
Many. I can't keep track. I don't know what the appeal is. So many other places to go. Guys, go to Hawaii. Come on.
Yeah.
If you can afford it. It's expensive. I know.
If you can afford it, yeah. If you have any comments on Outer Banks, then what is your Razzie for today?
I'm with you on Outer Banks. Like I definitely did hate on that show, and I continue to do so. So I completely understand why you didn't like it. Those characters are incredibly punchable. It's just so frustrating, and just not something I wanted to be around.
again, there again, you have these entitled people, you know,
yeah,
on one side, and the other people who the wants who want you know their cut, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, again, when you watch Les Mis, right?
Right.
You wanna, you know, root for Enjolras and the whole rebellion crew, right? Because you want them to get their cut. They want to get their due as right. the people, you know. But then when you see this, it's not really as you don't feel the same kind of passion toward that.
No, because they do fine if they just, you know, I don't know. I definitely felt they made themselves so hard to root for the whole time, and just it was incredibly frustrating. It's hard to articulate, honestly. That said, that was not my least favorite, surprisingly.
Oh, damn. Wow.
I do think I hated Dark Crystal Age of Resistance more.
Wow. Really?
I was thinking about it and just thinking about how little I was interested in the show, how disgusting I found the whatever those I forget what the villains were called.
Skeksis.
Yeah. That was just annoying the way they would talk. Like the whole thing just did not interest me.
I mean, to quote a certain friend of the pod that has given us some pitches, we're bringing Skeksis back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't, though. There was something about it that was so off-putting. And the voice acting itself never really saved it for me. I mean, because I think I noted in the feedback that I didn't recognize most of the voice actors that were doing stuff.
Right.
And which is
it's a kudos to the voice actors themselves, but
yeah.
It just didn't positively affect your experience.
Definitely not. It just that might have lifted it up more if I'd been able to identify them in some way. But even then, I found this whole thing very annoying and tedious. All the other things I think had some redeeming value, even if I didn't enjoy them as much. And it's
even
weird
Penny
say,
Dreadful.
You know what? I will even Penny Dreadful, because Penny Dreadful had Billy Piper.
That's fair. That's fair. I heart Billy Piper. Yeah, I Hartnett Billy Piper.
There you go. We love you, Josh Hartnett, wherever you are.
Wherever you are. Yeah.
But yeah, so for some reason, and even Outer Banks, which I also despised, an awful show that was just not interesting. That this was worse. This felt so much worse to me. And maybe it was the puppets. Maybe because I appreciate puppets. I love Avenue Q. That's a great musical. I enjoy puppets in other contexts. But this was just
Team
so
American World Police.
Yeah, there you go. And that's not off-putting. This was just so off-putting and not interesting. It just wasn't enough of a pull as far as the plot went to try and draw me in. It felt felt too dumb. I don't know. I know people love it. I don't get it.
And respectfully, again, The Dark Crystal as a movie, you know, it definitely has this kind of cult following. And again, there are people, again, if you didn't catch on that cult, I feel like that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we missed the train. We don't know when the train will be back again kind of thing. So I'm not going to hold my hand out, basically, kind of thing. Right. I get that. And there's a number of series out there in the world that exist in kind of that kind of frame of context, I think. And yeah, 100% fair. And again, I do love... Again, I did love the imaginary and process behind that and what the workshop was doing. But again, I can't appreciate what you're saying, because again, you know, there are things that I think certain people might not be as alluring for some people as others. I get it.
Fair. Appreciate it.
And I'm sorry if I haven't been giving more Owen Wilson wow out there with some of these, you know. I've been saying, oh. But I'm saying, wow. Mm. But that being said, speaking of surprise, I want to know which selection most surprised you and why.
So that's an interesting question. And I struggled with this one. This was the one that was the toughest for me.
It was just hard for me too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Because I could say it was something like Outlander, where I was surprised that I didn't end up enjoying it as much as I did, even though I haven't continued it, unfortunately. And
time. It's a time question, man.
Yeah, honestly. It is a pretty big commitment, to be honest. And having a wife that is not interested in Outlander doesn't help.
Irony, yeah. Irony, based on the pitch, yeah.
Right?
Listen to the pitch.
Yeah. But you know what? I have to say the answer I came up with to this question was the Aziz Ansari special.
Wow.
And I think it was because...
I did not expect that, man.
Yeah. And I think it was because I was, it was because of Scott's reaction to it, in that I just never heard anyone, like, I just take stand-up comedy as a given. I don't,
right.
I don't see it as something that people avoid or not interested in. And it's, and I think over time I've talked to more people about it, and I can think of one other person who is a listener who's mentioned that they don't particularly like stand-up comedy, but if I understood correctly, their concerns with stand-up comedy were more around the sort of the meanness and the sharpness of jokes, which I think can be worked around if you're dealing with different comics, different comedians. But I was just so thrown and just surprised by Scott not watching stand-up comedy because of the different topics that popped around. Like, that's a that's a fascinating way to view it. I can kind of understand it depending on your mindset. And so I just never thought of jumping around from different topics being an impediment. Maybe that's because my mind jumps around to stupid things constantly. But that was, to me, that was probably one of the more shocking things and more surprising things that's kind of come up through these selections and our discussions.
Yeah. I think that whether or not we're clinically diagnosed or not with ADD, I think that there is definitely a certain kind of, again, if this is, you know, a TikTok, Snap, YouTube society, YouTube short society that we're dealing with here, I think there's a certain amount of an attention span difficulty people might have. Right. And I think there's some people that are built that they want to do a deep dive into a topic. And, you know, granted, you know, certain comedians like to do deep dives in these different areas. You know, again, it's no different than, you know, what John Oliver does in his program. You know, he does stuff in the beginning, stuff at the end, and he does the big main point in the middle. And it's no different than I would say in a typical American meal, where you have your main and two sides, right?
Right.
And I think there's this kind of this you're digesting food in the same way you digest content, in my mind. And I think that some people like can't necessarily ascribe to something that is more like tapas, which you hate anyway, Nyan.
Right. That's correct. Yes.
Or if it's kind of a spread of smaller dishes, like a typical, you know, Japanese, you know, kind of fare, if you will. You may have like, you know, oshinko of different types of sites here, and then you might have a larger piece of fish, mind you, but you'll have like, you know, rice, and you'll have this and that, you know, so it's not the same thing. And I think it's very interesting how that kind of works out to that extent.
What about you, man?
So thinking, I don't know if this will be a surprise, so, you know, I know this will be gasp-worthy. Ghost throwback here. Time wasters.
Oh.
So time wasters, again, the idea to me was kind of totally off the wall in a lot of different ways. Again, because this wasn't a series that was promoted or marketed. It was not even on my radar. Right?
Right.
So, but I end up enjoying it so much that I end up binging it. Because again, there's the character element is huge. And I think that there's so much kind of like levity to what they're doing. It's like, okay, they're out of time, like literally, you know?
Yeah.
And yet there's so much of, okay, so even though we are people out of time, right? We're still grappling with these same kind of identity and, you know, superiority, inferiority complexes, et cetera, that we're dealing with. And it was really just, I was just surprised how much like I came away from something that, you know, for most people, it's like, oh, it was fun, or it was this, you know, I'd love to hear from people out there on people who watched it as a result of, you know, the pitch and the feedback. But I think that's really just so interesting to me, you know, and I think I was just so surprised at how much I grappled onto the different elements from it. Again, regardless if it's like the musical elements, the jazz elements that came out of it, or the situational comedy elements that came out of it, you know, there's so much to take from that. And again, I really enjoyed it on the feedback segment. If you listen to it, I really enjoyed it. I said I was going to continue, right? But I feel like that, you know, that it's an underestimated show for sure. I mean, low key. I mean, you go into this thing, oh, it's whatever, it's on Pluto or whatever. Freevee. Yeah. So it's on Freevee. So whatever, you know, it's not on the major ones. You know, it's not Hulu or Amazon or Netflix or Apple or Disney Plus. So it's inconsequential. You know, but no, don't sleep on it. I'm just saying, don't sleep on it. Again, it might not be mind-blowing on, you know, philosophical levels or cinematography elements, basically. But I just took a lot away from that. But I do have to give honorable mentions to a few. So F-Boy Island really pushed my comfort zone there.
Right.
And again, Nikki Glaser, like we mentioned in the episode, I think Nikki Glaser has a piece of all of our hearts here. And,
definitely.
And, you know, if she's ever in town, I will buy her as many drinks as she wants. It's not a question. So if she happens to listen to this somehow, some way, you know, I will gladly take you out and treat you and just pick your ear on whatever is, you know, you want to talk about for real. And you mentioned Outlander before, which I think was very also typical. And it was, again, a lot of our series we've talked about don't deal a whole lot with romance.
True.
Per se. I mean, again, there were some, you know, snippets of it, you know, some of the younger stuff like Outer Banks, you know, and The Society and other things like that. But it wasn't a cornerstone, if you will, of various different things we did. So it was really nice to kind of have, okay, well, you know, I don't really watch this kind of, you know, love story-esque kind of ideas, but the time travel and the situational drama that came out of it, I think there's a lot I wish I had more time to dedicate to catching up on that, because I think that I would thoroughly enjoy what's coming out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, those are good picks for honorable mentions. I actually probably do have one honorable mention that I think makes more sense in the context of the question now that we've kind of talked it through, because what you've described actually is a genuine surprise with regards to the selection itself as opposed to the reaction. And I have to say, for me, it's only Murders in the Building. Because I literally avoided it and only saw that final episode of season one. And then going back into it, it really turned me around. And that's from someone who really was trying to avoid Steve Martin. And
yeah, so you know, check out 48 and 49 of the episodes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It would help. You
know? Exactly.
Yeah. But and as of the time of this recording, I did finish season one and I'm on to season two. I'm in the season two already. So, I mean, you know, again, for those of you who are skeptical, like, oh, they said they're going to finish it, but will they really finish it? No. When we have time, we genuinely go back and do and finish stuff when we can.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because I'm actually stuck at the beginning of season two of Only Murders, but we will eventually get around to it because Kate wants to watch it. We're on top of it. And we do go back to these. I'm trying to think, what shows have you gone back and finished? I mean, I mentioned Titans. That's one that I've gone back and finished. I may be bad about it, actually, to be perfectly honest.
So going through chronologically speaking, I finished Dark. So I think as of the time of recording the feedback, I marathon through all or a good chunk of season one. And I think a week later, I finished season two. So, I mean, so right off the bat, basically, I had a bit of a hiatus from other series out there I was paying attention to. So I definitely, you know, marathon Dark. I definitely had a very big attachment. Again, maybe it's a time travel element. Maybe it's because maybe it's the German element. I don't know. And you know, I definitely had a lot of fun with that. But again, Black Lady Sketch Show, I finished. Joe Pera, I finished. Beyond that, you know, I Time Wasters, like I said, I went and finished a bunch of that. I watched a handful of other episodes of like, say, Travel Man. I haven't gone back to Moon Boy yet, but I fully intend to do it at some point. Same thing with Documentary Now. Sex Education, I'm in the middle of that somewhere. Terror, I made it through all of the first season, but I have to go back to the second season. And again, there's a bunch of other ones here that I've definitely, you know, kind of put my, you know, sink my teeth into. I finished Sweet Tooth.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The first season, again, they're supposedly the second season was coming. I don't know if it's coming or not. I'm one episode away from finishing the Cricket Fever pitch.
Oh, nice.
Lock and Key is still on my list too. Dark Crystal. I probably will finish it at some point. I did finish American Horror Story, actually, which was shocking for me because I don't love horror.
Yeah. That's one I did finish as well because I don't love horror either, but that was just really well done, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was very shocking how, like, you know, again, we're, you know, all three of us at the time, you know, none of us are huge horror fans, and Jason's not Jason's progeny is very big horror fans, but he's not as big of a horror fan. But, you know, I think that it's very interesting how that works. And again, there's a lot of stuff I want to go back. There's a lot of stuff I want to go back to. I need to go back and finish Grand Crew. I need to go back and finish, like I said, Lock and Key. And I want to go finish. I want to go back and finish, you know, Documentary Now, Sex Education, Moon Boy. Those are the big ones I want to go back and finish for sure. But yeah, again, Only Murders in Building, like we mentioned, we're catching up momentarily. So I think it's, again, I'd like to think that, you know, we're pretty good to our word, collectively speaking. If we say we're going to go back and finish something, eventually we will. Again, there's some stuff I haven't gone back to yet. And again, it's because I think to a certain extent, there's some stuff we take for granted because we think it will always be there on the respective platform of choice. But
right.
You know, I don't know.
But HBO Max is clearly teaching us that is not going to be the case.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just even thinking of the show Run, which was excellent, that got pulled from HBO Max. And I don't understand why. Yeah. Damn. It's crazy. But
so now I want to kind of, you know, turn the last part of this, you know, this random unnecessary recap or retrospective here into the future. So I think I didn't have this on the agenda. I just kind of came up with it earlier in the course of what we're talking about. And I'm like, so what are your hopes for the future as regards to pitches, both from, you know, you, both from you, me, Jason, and extended, you know, friends and listeners of the pod? What are your hopes and dreams?
You know, I'm hoping we get to in a bit more diverse in terms of the selections. Like I'd kind of like us to maybe jump around genres a little more, stuff that we're still passionate about, but stuff that truly is unexpected. I've got one that I'm really leaning towards pitching, which is interesting because I haven't seen all of it. It's a movie. I haven't seen all of it, but it's been in my head for a long time. And I think I'm going to pitch it no matter what, because it is a bit of a unique avant-garde movie in that regard. But and there's a element to it that works. But I think that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to get more diversity of the stuff that we cover. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm looking forward to having more folks on, more guests, because the guests have all been great. It's been awesome having people come in and you know, come up with stuff that I wouldn't have thought of. Like I wouldn't have thought of Dead Like Me. Like I knew the show, but I'm glad Dave came on and pitched that. That was great. A good one to catch up on. But I guess
another one to catch up on. Yeah.
Yeah, same here. All right. In terms of the future, like I want to, like, this is very much a hobby cast. We're here to have a good time, and I'm hoping for more folks to just start calling in and yelling at us and telling us, you know, what they hate and love about the show.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm looking forward and hoping for as well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, I would love to have more diversity here. And again, I'm trying to kind of push a little bit of, you know, out of my element when I can. You know, again, I am a creature of habit, like most of us are, and I'm going to pitch something sci-fi, something anime, something or something comedic, probably, or you know, interesting enough, I haven't pitched anything directly musical, not musical in like, you know, like a, you know, documentary around a specific band per se. But like musical as in like, you know, I didn't pitch like In the Heights, for example. You know, I haven't done any of that because in the words of our previous pitcher of American Horror Story 1984, who died and made you gay? Because the running joke is that, you know, it, from my wife is that she said, quote, I never thought I'd marry a guy who knows more about musicals than I do. So it's very, very funny. Or as they might say, NYU straight.
There you go.
Yeah. So, thanks. But yeah, I'm hoping for diversity. An option, so. Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping for more diversity. Again, the more of you out there who are listening right now, we definitely would love to hear more about what you think. And again, you know, we haven't, you know, made a lot of, you know, public playing of feedback or from other people outside of the people who come to host here. But again, as reiterating, again, if you're interested, you know, there's various ways to engage with us here. If you want to just give us a pitch, we'll comment on said pitch, just anchor.fm/watchokplease. But again, also, if you want to come on with us and interact with us, man, we'd love to do this kind of thing. Because again, you know, we're just three random people with random tastes, you know, with regards to this kind of thing. And we want to be able to hear what's out there. Because like the vast deluge of content that exists out there is insane.
Yeah. And there's got to be stuff we're missing that we'd end up loving, right? Like,
yeah.
So please, we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Again, ideally, we'd like to have it in a language or with subtitles, ideally, especially if it's in another language. But you know, if you want us to watch it raw and just give us a raw feedback and it's not too long of a movie or content, you know, I'll give it a shot. I mean, I can't say I'll understand it, but I'll say, oh, this is very interesting. So
I'm going to need the subtitles. So Duolingo can only get me so far. I'm only on like day 33 of French and I still can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I've not, you know, renewed my, study of, you know, various different other sub languages, you know, yet. But yeah. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, man. For sure.
Yeah. It's been crazy. All the random stuff we've had thrown at us through this podcast. And it's been a good time. So
yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. And
yeah, exactly. I mean, thank you guys for listening. And, you know, we hope to, you know, keep on delivering to you on some additional irreverent and in some cases, you know, unnecessary takes on a lot of different things out there as the world of media consumption changes over time and our media cues explode even more. So that's what we thought.
That's what we thought.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.